Hi, folks. I haven't heard of you for a long time, and you didn't hear me, but it's Martin again. Welcome to Kaput Radio with today's episode featuring Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Bank, which is performed and produced by Bait and Switch TV. That's one word, .com. baitandswitchtv.com. A funny bunch. Check them out on YouTube. Also featured Harry Shearer and Smiling Zebra, also from YouTube.
I've been told shadow bankers have no soul. Buy out 1, 2, default 3, 4 1, 2, 3, 4 1, 2, you're screwed.
Do you have what it takes to take what they have? They come from every corner of the country. Harvard, Yale, Stanford. They come in every shade of white, pale, peach, ecru. They trade in times of peace, wage in times of war. They are the checks, the balance. They set the standards by which we thrive. They are here for the venture of a lifetime, self-serving their country since 1913. They are the proud, the rich, the reserved.
Welcome to Bait and Switch TV.
Our hot topic tonight, the Federal Reserve Banking System.
We're going to make the financial collapse fun and simple enough for a child to understand.
Stocks and bonds, puppies and silly songs. Friendly bankers that you'll never meet. Can you tell me how to invest on Sesame Wall Street?
On Sesame Wall Street.
This episode is called The Federal Reserve System. Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Bank?
I think we all are. This topic hits close to home.
Yeah, most of us are just a paycheck away from the feds huffing and puffing and blowing our houses down.
So tuck yourselves in as we spin some spine-tingling bedtime stories that cast a light on what's been known as the shadow banking system. You'll learn about some of the boogeymen behind the Federal Reserve. Some of whom may just scare you half to death.
I see shadow bankers. Really? 750 billion? Mommy, I see shadow bankers. I see shadow bankers everywhere.
Darling, please go to sleep. I'm trying to pay this month's bills. I can hardly hear myself silently weeping.
We'll consider some of the key players in the financial crisis. Ben Bernanke, Hank Paulson, Timothy Geithner, Alan Greenspan, and members of Goldman Sachs. And then we'll take a shower.
How does this formidable central bank affect the lives of everyday people?
We lost our home.
Our retirement is cut in half.
I lost a lot of money. Probably about half my savings in the stock market.
We took a hit like everybody else did.
I just recently lost my job. Been able to find work just at a lot lower rate.
I graduated from law school in spring of 2009. I'm still unemployed like a lot of my friends.
I was laid off.
I see another recession, depression coming.
I heard my husband, he actually cried upstairs in this apartment we were in. I heard his voice go in like, he doesn't do that. He's a steady man.
Well, just last week, actually, I was laid off.
I lost my job a year and a half ago.
It's just been a hard time for a lot of people.
Where are we going, Mummy?
We're going to the field to set the car on fire before the bank repossesses it.
But, Mummy, it's a wonderful old car.
Oh, I know, darling. I've been paying for it since before you were born.
What a curious sound it's making.
I can't afford the good gas, darling.
What's it saying?
It's saying, shitty, 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 shitty.
Bank, bank.
Shitty, bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank. Shitty, bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank. Shitty, bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank. Oh, you. Shitty, shitty, bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank. We hate you. And our pretty, shitty, bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank hates us too. Have no
Everywhere our rates go on shitty, shitty, we depend. Bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank. I'll find foreclosure friend. Bank, bank, shitty, shitty, bank, bank. I'll find foreclosure friend.
We spoke with real experts for today's show. Leading economists, famous authors, investment bankers, politicians, and other entertainers to get to the bottom of the burning question. Has the Federal Reserve been doing their own bait and switch?
To start our investigation, Bait and Switch TV asked a simple question. What is the Federal Reserve?
Federal Reserve is a central bank, and it is the bank for bankers.
The Federal Reserve system and the component banks and the financial institutions which make that up today represent the dominant, not only economic, but the dominant political force in America.
The Fed knows that its mandate is to serve the interests of U.S. citizens.
Trouble with our Federal Reserve is that it's privately owned.
It's basically a bunch of privileged banks who operate through the Federal Reserve and have their interests met.
Our banking system is based on sleight of hand, and that's where this usurping of power has come from. The sleight of hand is called fractional reserve lending.
I do not pretend to fully understand it. I know the basic concept of the Federal Reserve is to prevent financial disasters. You know, it's to prevent runs on the banks. It's to manage the flow of cash.
The Fed is basically responsible for controlling the money supply.
I'm the author of The Buyout of America, which is an expose that reveals how private equity firms using the same cheap credit that caused the housing bubble may be about to cause the next great credit crisis, and even if they don't, we should stop them. If you let capitalism run amok, you get what we have now. And we're not through the worst of it yet, in my view. Unfortunately, this LBO crisis is just starting.
Wall Street has continually bought to regulatory favors.
TARP! TARP! Ha ha! TARP! Bail out!
I can remember someone at the table who we were talking to about potential layoffs looked at me and said, yes, there's going to be a lot of blood spilt. It's true that if you're in this business long enough, you are not as chilled by that as you were before.
Well, that explains it.
Yes, I understood it completely. By now, you're probably still wondering, okay, what is the Federal Reserve System, really?
The Federal Reserve's official website says, the Federal Reserve is one of the world's most influential, trusted, and prestigious financial organizations.
They should really update that.
It goes on to say, the Federal Reserve was put in place to ensure the soundness of the nation's banking system and to contain risks that may arise in financial markets.
Well, you know what the rich say, if you ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay, let's take a look at the Fed's scorecard. Our Bait and Switch TV correspondent, Becky Washoe, will explain more about how the Federal Reserve has managed the U.S. economy's monetary system for the last 100 years.
Thanks, Mary, Erica. When the Federal Reserve was established, the board declared, from now on, national bank failures will be virtually eliminated. The Federal Reserve was created specifically to stabilize our economy. But since its conception, it has presided over too many economic collapses and financial failures to mention. But what the hell, let's mention them anyway. Let's start with the recession of 1918 to 1919, the crash of 1920 to 1921, the recessions of 1923 to 1924 and 1926 to 1927, and of course the Great Depression, the crash of 1929 to 1939. You still here? Then there were the recessions of 1945, 1948 to 1949, 1953 to 1954, 1957 to 1958, 1960 to 1961, 1969, 1975, 1981, that stock market Black Monday of 1987, the dot-com bubble and bust of 1995 to 2001, the Great Recession of 2007 to 2010, which is still going strong, and to date, the dollar has undergone a 1,000% inflation. 1,000%. Since the Federal Reserve opened for business in 1913, 90% of the US dollar's purchasing power has been destroyed. That's the Fed's success rate, a succession of failures.
Right, I think anyone looking at the historical record who just objectively entertains the question, has the Federal Reserve done a good job living up to what its official mission is, would have to say no.
Since 1913, the Federal Reserve itself has had various degrees of success in managing its role as the central banker.
1% interest rate.
The twin mandates that it had were to avoid macroeconomic disturbances and to preserve the value of the dollar, to avoid price inflation. And since the Fed's opened its doors, the dollar has lost about 95% of its purchasing power. So the Fed's clearly failed on that front. And we had the Great Depression on the Fed's watch, and we now have the current crisis on the Fed's watch. So I wonder, you know, what more would the Fed have to do to screw up to let people realize that it's not doing what it's supposed to do?
The Fed needs to be held accountable. And what that means is that if you don't do a good job, you lose your job.
The Federal Reserve is doing an excellent job serving its mandate, which is to serve the banks, but they are not doing much for us. And in fact, it's because of this whole parasitic banking system that we're currently suffering from deflation heading toward depression.
It's easy to sit back and pass judgment and say, well, they haven't done a great job. We had this market crash. Do I blame them for it? Not necessarily. I don't necessarily think it's on them. I do have a little bit of issue with what we saw during the days of Alan Greenspan.
2% interest rate.
Any time that one human being has the ability to step in front of a camera and completely change the financial market, I'm concerned.
The Federal Reserve System is a cartel. It's a banking cartel. And that comes pretty much as a shock to most people because we've all been taught that the Federal Reserve is a government agency or that some kind of an institution which is under the watchful eye of our representatives in Washington and that it serves the people.
We can't forget who owns the Fed, us, the taxpayers. So if the Fed makes a lot of money, we've made a lot of money. But that's secondary to its main concerns. Its main concern is not to profit from its financial transactions, but again, to stabilize the monetary supply so that we don't have excessively high inflation or excessively high unemployment.
3% interest rate!
The power to issue money has been usurped from the American people, or from people in general, globally now, by a private banking cartel, which is arguably bent on dominating the countries of the world privately by controlling their money system.
People are very worried, and rightfully, they are looking more closely at the Federal Reserve. It's generally been ignored. As long as we're surviving and doing well, they don't look to the source of our problems. But now that we're in serious trouble, people are becoming much more aware of how the Federal Reserve operates and how they participate in the crisis that we have.
You have a lot of Congress people that have criticized the Fed on many grounds, suggesting that it's not acting on behalf of taxpayers, and I think that's silly.
4% interest rate!
When you really analyze it, you discover, to your surprise, that the Federal Reserve System is not much different than an oil cartel, or a banana cartel, or a sugar cartel. It just happens to be a banking cartel. And it was formed for the same purpose that all cartels are formed, and that's not to protect the interest of the consumer, or the voter, or the people at large, but to protect and expand the profit margins and the domination of the markets of the members of the cartel, in this case, the banks.
In the current recession, some 15 million Americans are out of work, and 25 million Americans are struggling to meet their basic needs. And there's no good reason why something like this should happen, the sort of legalized looting that we've had in our economic system.
5% interest rate!
The party is over.
Yeah. seizing up. And without, if you don't do something about cardiac arrest, all the rest isn't going to matter.
It means that the patient is in dire straits and going to get a lot sicker.
We're at a critical moment for our economy.
People, the sky isn't falling. Then one day, she came back. I was so happy.
Pope Benedict tried to calm financial jitters, emphasizing the importance of spiritual matters over material wealth.
It is very troubling. That the current Treasury Secretary and Bernanke, the head of the Fed, are people who are very tied into Wall Street. Wall Street does not know how to run this country.
$750 billion!
One of the great lessons of history is that any nation that fails to provide for the basic needs of its people is destined to fail.
A cartoon.
In the Great Hall of Injustice, there are assembled the world's greatest economic superheroes, created from the collapsing cosmic collateral of the universe. Fat Cat, when it comes to fighting crime, he has no restraint. No restraint. I mean it. The Deregulator. He doesn't follow the rules he makes. He makes the rules he doesn't follow.
This is the air traffic controller.
You cannot do that, sir! It's against the rules!
I'm the deregulator, damn it!
The Greenspan Lantern, a shining beacon of hypocrisy. You don't want to meet him in a dark alley. And Red Tape, bitten by a radioactive acorn volunteer, she fights corporate crime by making it incomprehensible.
Hey!
The Shadow Banker, more powerful than a liberal motive, able to leap logic in a single bound. And with the help of other super frauds like Embezzleman, warding off the depression with his golden parachute of privilege. And the media, with her supernatural powers of persuasive revision. Saving the world from reality because we can't handle the truth. Captain Escrow, getting back to you in 30 to 60 days under certain conditions. These are the super frauds, sworn to protect the privileged few. Their mission, total global financial control. The Super Fraud Injustice League, saving the world for themselves, one bank at a time. Get out of their way!
We'll be right back.
They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
America's Great Depression started on October 24th, 1929. Black Thursday, when investors lost faith in the monetary system, panicked, shit their pants, and could not afford to buy new ones.
Mama.
I want a leverage buyout for my company. I want a huge amount of borrowed bank money.
I love it.
Got no intuition, borrowed most my purchase price. And after I can't pay it off, the banks will take their slice. L-B-O-O-O-O-O-O makes bankers wet, seeing what they'll get. L-B-O-O-O.
What is the role of the Federal Reserve?
I think a child could answer that. Well, maybe not my child.
And their jobs are going to get whacked, and the economy's going to get iced big time. Back of the head twice. Boom! Boom! Huh?
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I just want to assure you that I had absolutely nothing to do with the current financial crisis.
With Goldman Sachs as the primary brokers of cap and trade, was cap and trade ever really about the environment?
The devil is always in the details.
By debt collectors? Break free from debt. Don't let creditors decide your repayment amount. Let your budget decide. Free from debt now and let someone who understands help you overcome your debt situation. Debt agreement, which can freeze provable unsecured debt, stop fees and interest on provable unsecured debt, consolidate debt into one easy and affordable repayment, even if you have bad credit with a regular household income.
From the creative financial team that brought you everything else you've seen on television comes something you've hardly ever seen before.
10 minutes isn't good enough. No.
She's Mary White. I didn't say that. A public television executive with a history of violence and questionable moral ethics.
I need that cartoon now!
Frickin' PBS!
And he's Chang Wang Mayflower III. He's a venture capitalist who works for a shadow agency of the Federal Reserve.
Duck! 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 Goose, you're fired!
Okay, now your name is Graham Morris, is that right?
No, my name's Morris Graham.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Graham is my name, good evening.
I'm reading from the wrong list, I'm sorry.
Graham Morris, who's Graham Morris?
Well, he's a strategist, apparently, it says
here. A strategist?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, who for?
Hard to tell. Anyway, he was one of the other people trying to get on the show.
Oh. Didn't make it?
No.
Unfortunate for him?
Yeah, we had to have a word with him as well.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, when you get an answer wrong, it's not the question's fault, is it?
Not usually.
Okay, so what do you do, Morris?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I work for Qantas.
Oh, really? Lucky you.
Mm.
What do you do there?
Well, every week we load a whole lot of jobs into a big cannon, and then on the Friday...
You fire it?
No, we photograph it, and we email the photograph to all staff.
Why?
Well, it's character building, we feel.
Keeps them on their toes?
It does. So we've got a very happy staff down there.
That's terrific. Now, Morris, your special subject tonight is the Australian mining boom.
That's correct, yes.
Your time starts now. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Is the Australian mining boom over?
Is it over what?
Well, is it finished?
Is it finished? I thought we were in the middle of it. That's why I've chosen it as my... I mean, isn't it the best thing we've got going for us?
Well, that's the question, Morris.
Oh, well, no, it's not over.
Correct. Who recently said it was finished?
Martin Ferguson.
Correct. And what was his position at the time?
He was sitting down. He was talking on the radio.
No.
Actually, can I correct that answer? He may have been standing up. It could have been in the Parliament.
No, I meant what position in the government was Mr. Ferguson at the time?
Oh, I see. Well, on the assumption that he doesn't know what he was talking about, he's the Resources Minister.
Correct. And who disagreed with him?
Everybody did. It was Martin Ferguson.
Correct. But why in particular did they disagree with him?
Well, the opposition disagreed with him because they need the mining boom to stay in place because their argument is that it's going to be destroyed by the policies of the government. So they need it to keep going.
So it can be destroyed.
So it can be destroyed.
Sure.
And the government need it to stay there because if you take the mining sector out of the Australian economy, you've got to put the current account on a drip.
Correct. Well done. Mm. And who is Marius Cloppers?
Oh, is it a sound effect? I'm guessing.
No, I think you are guessing.
Oh,
yes.
I'm definitely guessing. Maybe a horseman passing by.
You're really guessing this time. No. No. Marius runs BHP.
Oh, does he?
And after that round, Morris, you've won a dead cat bounce.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
that's great,
no, that's very acceptable. We'll take him from anywhere at this stage.
Assets. Keep the dollars in your closets. 'Cause we don't take care of deposits. We're the bad bank. Oh, we don't mean to be a boaster, but we're the bad bank. Even make you give us a toaster. All our bonds were highly emaciated. Might as well indulge your cravings, 'cause we'll piss away your savings. We're the bad bank. We make you pine for loan sharking. Such a bad.
Thank you for listening. From the top you heard Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Bank from baitandswitchtv.com. Available on their YouTube page. Also on YouTube, Smiling Zebra with Funny Recession Song, Harry Shearer with Bad Bank, and satirist Clark and Dore with Is the Money Boom Over? I deliberately didn't focus on the US election this time, the Euro, cheese, the Middle East, or the Australian-Afghanistan questions, because frankly, I'm tired of hearing the pseudo-rationale of politicians. Although the Bush, Cheney, Blair, Howard gang do need to be confronted for their wrecking of the world, as Desmond Tutu recently did. So turning to the underlying cause for all this, I try to look not too seriously at the absurdities of our global money and still hope someone, somewhere, sometime will say that asset-based money doesn't work. Moreover, it has become suicidal for us all. I'm Martin, and I spare you my weather prediction that certainly will get worse, but more kaput radio may be coming your way in the future, or of the future, what is left of it. Bye.